I love very much the story which Eunice Kennedy Shriver wrote a few years ago about the lifelong parenting by her mother, Rose Kennedy, who at the time was 95 years of age. She gave it the title, Rose Kennedy, Forever a Mom. And this morning, I would like to read to you a very short paragraph from that story. A few years ago, our family matriarch saw her son, United States Senator Ted Kennedy, speak on television. Afterward, she promptly penned him this note. Dear Teddy, please say, if I were president, not if I was president. The reason for the use of the subjunctive is the old construction that used to be known as Latin, in Latin, as describing a condition contrary to fact. I love that story because I can see that grand old grandmother and mother still parenting her son. Even when he was a United States Senator and a candidate for the nomination by his party to the presidency of the United States. May her tribe increase. That reminds me of one of the great passages in the whole Bible, and certainly in the Old Testament. It is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I invite you to open your Bible there this morning to that 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Especially when you have turned to that passage, to those words that you will note in the 2nd verse of the chapter, so that you, your child, and your grandchild might fear the Lord your God. It is striking to me and very impressive to me that in this passage, which Bible scholars consider to be one of the major passages in all the Bible, particularly about parents and children, that the second verse links not only parents and children, but grandchildren. That you, your child, and your grandchild might fear the Lord your God. These words were spoken through Moses when the Jewish nation had just been out of the land of Egypt for 3 months. At the time that these words are spoken, the Jewish nation was standing at camped at Mount Sinai, where God gave the law through Moses. They were preparing to begin their journey to Canaan, the promised land. And in this passage, God, through Moses, gave one of the most important commandments and exhortations in all the Scripture. There are 3 major parts of these words of God. The first of those is in the 5th verse, that you should know, or rather the 4th verse, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. It is the exhortation that they should know the only true God. The second element in these words is in the 2nd verse and the 5th verse of the chapter, that you, your son, and grandchild might fear the Lord your God. And in the 5th verse, to fear the Lord is explained, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It is important for us to know again this morning that in the Old Testament, the word fear the Lord does not have in it the meaning or connotation of being terrified or terror regarding the Lord. It always in the Old Testament has instead the connotation and the meaning to revere, to be in awe, and to love Him. You may remember that a couple of Sundays ago, we noticed that in the life of Jacob. And I would like, in order to impress that upon you this morning, to ask you to turn back for a moment to the 28th chapter of Genesis. And notice with me in the 28th chapter a second place where this meaning to the word fear the Lord is given to us. For in that 28th chapter and the 16th and the 17th verses, you will recall that Jacob had spent a sleepless night in which he had a dream and a vision with God in heaven, and he was lying on earth and between a ladder upon which ascended and descended the angels of God. And when it was ended at verse 16, these words, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid, but said, 'How awesome is this place!'" The point that I am wanting to make to this congregation this morning is that in the Old Testament, when the words are used to fear the Lord, the meaning of those words in the Old Testament is never terrorized, but always awe, revere, love the Lord. And so it is that in these words of God through Moses to the Jewish nation, the second exhortation was that you, your child, and your grandchild should fear the Lord. And then, two sentences later, these words, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So the second part of this commandment is not only that they should know the one true God, but they should love, revere, and awe of Him and serve Him. And the third part of that word given in the opening five verses is that they should pass along to their children and grandchildren this reverence of God and this knowledge of the true God. But how is that to be done? That is the question which all of us want to have the answer to. How can we pass along to our child and then to our grandchild a knowledge of the true God and an awe and a reverence and a love for Him that will lead us to serve Him? That's the question which most of us wonder and ask and desire to know the answer. And in this great passage, in verses 6 through 9, God gave four processes for that, the accomplishment of that. Four things which God said are the way in which parents and grandparents can communicate to children and grandchildren this knowledge of God and this awe and reverence of Him. And I want in this brief message to mention the four processes which God described to them in these verses 6 through 9. Please notice in the sixth verse, the primary parental priority. And these words shall be in your heart. The first thing which the Lord said to those people through Moses, those parents, was this: if you are going to communicate a knowledge of the true God and a reverence and an awe of Him to your child and to your grandchild, the first thing is, it shall be in your heart. That is, every parent and every grandparent must first of all maintain his or her own spiritual commitment, his or her own spiritual devotedness. It first of all shall be in your own heart. What God expects of every parent and grandparent before you start any other task with your child or grandchild is that you maintain your own devotedness, that you maintain your own commitment. That is first. I have observed over the years that most of the time, parents who have a vital, living, devoted commitment, which is maintained, which day after day after day remains alive, remains vibrant, remains warm, that parents and grandparents who maintain a personal commitment to God that is alive almost always transmit and communicate that to their children. If I could speak a word to these parents of little infants who are with us this morning, the first word that I would give to you is, maintain your own devotion to the Lord. Let this be in your heart. If it is in your heart, that is the most determinative and that is the most crucial thing to communicating to your child or to your grandchild. Let this be in your heart. That's the first word which God spoke to the Jewish people through Moses. You will find that the next verse begins with a conjunctive translated in most English Bibles, and, but it has the meaning or connotation, then. In other words, if these words are in your heart, then you shall teach them diligently to your child. And as verse 2 has indicated, to your grandchild. We cannot pass it on to the child or grandchild if it is not vibrant and healthful and alive within our lives. But when it is, then we shall pass it on to the child and to the grandchild. That's the reason that in the Bible, children's spiritual development and nurture belongs to the home and to the family and to the grandparents. In the scriptures of the Bible, always the spiritual nurture and development of children belongs to the family primarily, to the home, to the extended family. The wise parent will choose ways to supplement that. The wise parent will find different means to help in that. he will discover, hopefully, the help of a church that will aid and support and encourage. And this morning, I want to say to our congregation that I am committed today again, more fervently than ever, to lead our church in developing and making the strongest kind of support and help to parents. It will be as we teach parents the scriptures. Parents cannot communicate to children what they themselves do not know. And if we are going to help parents, it will be first of all as we teach them the scriptures, that they in turn may have it in their hearts and pass it along. It will be by providing other adult models, other adults who will model before our children and grandchildren what Christian living is. It will be by providing a peer group of others like them who also will meet the needs of friendship and peer group relationships. And I am committed this morning to see this church grow the strongest possible aid to parents in this day. But in the Bible, the primary responsibility for nurture spiritually and development spiritually is in the family and in the parents and in the home, who will, by your own experience, pass along to your children what they see alive in your life. Let these words be in your heart, then you shall teach them diligently to your children. That's the second word that we find in this marvelous passage. The third word is given to us at the end of the seventh verse, and it speaks of the primary method by which this will be done. You will talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. The Lord was saying through Moses that the way parents communicate spiritual truths and realities to children and grandchildren is in the natural life-related actions of everyday living. It is not so much in that 5-minute family devotional time, which hopefully many of you will have. It is not there where the principal work of teaching diligently our children will occur. It is rather in the natural, ongoing, normal activities of the day that it will occur. When you rise up, when you sit down, when you walk by the way, in the morning, during the day, in the ongoing relationships of parents and child. That's the reason these days, incidentally, that often there are some of the difficulties in this process. Parents who do not have sufficient interaction with children day by day. Parents who do not have the time with them in the morning or in the evening or through the day, in order that in the natural process of life they can interact in spiritual ways. I was blessed, incidentally, as many of you also have been blessed, to be born in a house adjoining the house in which my mother was born and in which my grandmother Trail lived. And one of the greatest influences in all my life was the influence every day of having that ongoing contact with a grandmother who loved the Lord, who revered God, and in whose life it was not an empty verbal thing but in whose life it was an active, warm, genuine experience and the overflow of that. Just the everyday experience of that. Just being there at her table and in her house and in the day hearing her and observing her and witnessing that was a profound influence in my life. And if you will teach your children, it will be as the end of verse 7 says. You will talk of them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. It will be the result of everyday interaction with children who hear and observe and watch the reality of spiritual truth in life. That's the third thing that is mentioned in this passage. First, it be in your heart. Secondly, your primary responsibility is to pass it on. And thirdly, you will pass it on in the everyday experiences of life. And fourthly, the fourth process that is mentioned in this passage is found in the 8th and 9th verses of the passage. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I am tempted this morning to stop and to ask you what the words of verses 8 and 9 mean. The Orthodox Jew understood and today understands the words of those two verses literally. And therefore, as many of you know, the Orthodox Jew binds a phylactery upon his forehead, in which is a portion, this portion of Scripture. And the Orthodox Jew literally fulfills and carries out these words. But it seems to many of us who study the Scriptures that what God was saying to Moses and through Moses in these words was this: the authority that you have will be when these truths so grip your head and so grip your eyes and so grip your hands that the way you think and the way you perceive and the work that your hands find to do have been affected by these words. When these words affect your mind, when these words affect your eyes, and when these words affect your hands, then there shall be the authority that there ought to be and can be to transmit spiritual truths to children and grandchildren. Four great processes. The great task that we shall know the true God, that we shall fear, love, revere Him, that we shall pass that on, that we shall pass it on, first of all, because it is alive in our hearts. Secondly, that we shall recognize we are diligently to teach our family. That's our responsibility. Thirdly, we shall realize it will be in the everyday events of life. And fourthly, it shall be when these truths grip our minds, our eyes, and our hands, that the authority of parents will communicate to children spiritual truths. What a marvelous passage is given to us in this part of Scripture. 100 years ago, Charles Dickens, most of you know the great English writer, who is, as you know, the author of that beautiful Christmas carol. A man of great faith and of living commitment to the Lord, wrote a letter to his son, who was leaving England on his way to Australia. And Charles Dickens assumed that perhaps it would be the last time that he would see this son. And he wrote him this letter. Let me read to you the words of it. I need not tell you that I love you dearly and am very, very sorry in my heart to part with you. I have put a New Testament among your books because it is the best book that ever was or will be known in the world. As your brothers have gone away one by one, I have written to each such words as I am now writing to you, entreating them all to guide themselves by this book. Only one thing more: never abandon the practice of private prayer. I know the comfort of it. Charles Dickens communicated to his sons his own fervent, genuine, deep commitment to God, the true God. It was in his heart. He passed it on to his children. He had passed it on to them because every day when he rose up, when he walked by the way, when he sat down, when he lay down, through all the day, he, in the natural events of life, talked to them about values, about truths, about realities. And when they left, he still was parenting them a New Testament to carry along and an exhortation not to abandon the private practice of prayer. That, my friends, is what Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us to do. Let us pray. Our Father, please grant to us this morning the message that these truths about the true and living God will be passed along, to love Him, to serve Him, to fear Him, because we love Him. Passed along to our children and grandchildren because it is in our hearts, alive. Because it is our responsibility, because we talk about it every day in the natural ways of life, because it has gripped our minds and our eyes and our hands. Oh, Father, please grant to us, I pray, the truth of these words in our lives. For we ask this and pray it through Jesus Christ, our Lord.